Let's keep breaking it down with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at BrianHowell33. He's the Colorado beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. It is Brian Howell. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, great. And we're discussing this situation now at Colorado, coming off a Coach of the Year season for Mike McIntyre. You know, we've all learned nationally that McIntyre had some pretty troubling news come across his desk and seemingly didn't handle it the right way. When did folks in Boulder start to learn of the other side, the allegations against assistant coach Joe Tumpkin?
Well, nobody really outside of CU heard anything until January 6th when it came to the attention of those of us at the Boulder Daily Camera that there was a temporary restraining order against Coach Joe Tumpkin. So that was the first we learned of it. CU obviously knew something as far back as December 9th.
Well, and when that news broke locally, what was the reaction? Because it sounds like the university had a handshake agreement to give Coach McIntyre an extension, and when the news became public, it sounds like they've at least delayed those talks. How much public backlash was there to the story?
Well, initially, not much against CU because it looked more like it was, just the assistant coach obviously had this domestic violence issue. And so there wasn't a whole lot of backlash against CU. It wasn't until really the SI piece came out, I guess, about almost 2 weeks ago that kind of detailed some things from the victim side of things that people started to question CU's involvement in this. And so it's really been over the last couple of weeks that there's been some questioning on the CU side and some backlash there.
So let me ask you this, Brian. As we break down the situation, being in Colorado, being in the center of all of it, nationally, this just is going to get lumped in with the Jerry Sandusky story, especially now with the Sandusky story coming back, with the Baylor story that's going on. These stories just all kind of get lumped into one another. And I mean, even Kevin Wilson getting fired at Indiana, these all start to feel similar to one another. Within Colorado, does this feel like a huge story? Because it does feel like it's certainly starting to pick up steam nationally.
Well, to be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't be lumped with that stuff at all. I think a lot of those other stories, there's a lot of cover-up and things like that involved. This, I don't think there's a whole lot of cover-up. I just think the biggest thing is it appears that Colorado, like McIntyre and AD Rick George and the Chancellor, they didn't follow a couple of the steps they were supposed to as far as reporting it. But Mike did report it to the AD as soon as he found out, who reported to the Chancellor. They didn't report it initially to their Office of Compliance right away. They didn't do that for a couple of weeks. So I don't think there was necessarily a big cover-up here. They acted fairly swiftly when you compare it to, like, Baylor and Penn State, things like that. I mean, he was fired within 6 weeks of the allegations even coming out, and he was fired before there was ever even a charge filed. So they acted fairly swiftly when you compare it to the other things. It's just there are some things that there's at least some questions as far as why McIntyre would give him the play calling duties after knowing these allegations, and what did they really know in December before the bowl game. So there are some questions. I don't think it's a huge thing that they did. There are just some questions right now.
Did it have any effect, in your opinion, on Colorado's recruiting efforts this year?
I don't think so. They pulled together a really good class, and they only lost. They had most of their class committed even before the season started, and they only lost two commitments throughout the whole process, and I don't think either one of them really had an impact on the situation at all. So not this year, and I guess if there's some lingering effects, there could be, but I kind of get the sense that the putting off of the contract is really more of CU just wanting to cover itself and go through this internal investigation and prove that they didn't do a whole lot wrong before they actually approve the contract.
Brian Howell's our guest, 1320K fans. We talk about Colorado's coaching situation. The assumption then would be that, what is it, April, they get back together and vote on this, that this contract extension goes through and Mike McIntyre remains the head coach for the long term?
Yeah, I don't know if it's fair to say it's an assumption, but it's certainly the hope that based on everything I know and from what I've been told on and off the record, I don't think Colorado did anything gravely wrong here and that McIntyre did anything wrong. So it's really just the reasons we're supposed to vote on this deal tomorrow, and I think that the Colorado just right now felt like this was kind of bad timing to have that vote right now, and the reasons want to find out everything. So my sense is that this investigation is going to go fairly swiftly. They don't have to wait until April. They can actually call a special meeting to vote on the contract, which they could do. So it could happen even quicker than April. So I would hope that that's what happens, and that they can kind of resolve this, because that's when it could start to become an impact to CU's future.
We've talked to Mike McIntyre several times, both on the radio, and then we've met him a couple of times at Pac-12 Media Day. He doesn't seem like he's a huge ego guy, but that can change when you win an AP Coach of the Year. Is there a chance he could be offended by the way Colorado treats him here and might end up looking for a different job in the future because of this, or does that seem out of character?
It is a little out of character, but you know, you never know. I mean, he's not a big ego guy. He's a good man that I think made a couple of unfortunate mistakes here that, for one, the chancellor is kind of the one that kind of put off this vote here. And the chancellor is about as involved as Mike here. So they're probably talking, and kind of the same frame of mind going into this thing, and realize that it's sort of, a necessary thing to put this off right now. They probably assume that the vote's going to go through and he'll get the extension. If it doesn't go through, that's where I could see maybe McIntyre saying, that's it, I'm done here, and I'm going to play this contract out and I'll be done. But until something like that happens, I think that it's hard to say what he would do. But I think he wants to be here, and we'll see as this plays out in the future.
On the field, Colorado obviously had a great year. I'm sure fans were hoping for even more, but at some point we learned in the latter part of the year the game against Utah was going to be Colorado's first sellout in over 8 years. Was this year's season, the 10 wins, was that enough to see that trend go up, or could the Buffs easily have another 8-year gap between sellouts?
Well, I think I don't think they'll have 8 years in between. I think that there was enough this last year that really sparked the fan base, and I think they've been waiting for long enough for something like this to happen that it seems like the response, the ticket renewals are starting up now. I think there was enough of a response that we are going to see a lot more fans, and who knows if they're going to sell out any games this year. But I don't think we'll see 8 years. I mean, it depends on how they play this year and beyond. But I think that this year we could see some sellouts, and that there's definitely a lot more interest now that something has finally clicked with this team.
Brian, and then looking at this Colorado team, what seems like a bigger loss? The four guys that get the college invite or the combine invite, and Sefolofau obviously graduating from Colorado, or the fact that they are going to have to change pretty much that entire defensive staff now?
I think the players are the biggest loss. I think the defensive staff, obviously, that's a big deal. I mean, they'll have three of the four defensive coaches will be new, but they lost eight senior starters on that defense, and all eight of them were multi-year starters. So I think, to me, that's the bigger loss for them. It's going to be tough to replace not only that talent, but that experience. That's a ton of experience to replace and game experience. So they've got some good kids. They're just not that experienced. So the one good thing for them on defense is that the coaches will be new and a lot of the players will be new. So there's kind of a clean slate there. There is some talent, but it is going to be a little bit of a rebuilding job on that defensive side.
You can find him on Twitter at BrianHowell33, Colorado beat writer. Read him at Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, really great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.